Trees, wonderful, wonderful green trees. So much in the Bible seems to happen around trees. They are personified and given titles like the tree of wisdom, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life and death. Even God is likened to a tree by the prophet Hosea, where it is written, "I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me." In today's gospel reading, Nathanael is whiling away a bit of time under a fig tree when Philip arrives, tells him about Jesus, and asks him to come and check this dude out, man. He's the one. And shortly after, when Nathanael meets Jesus, he speaks the words for which his people had been longing for so very long. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." There are mysterious bits here, though. We might ask how come Jesus could pronounce that Nathanael was without guile or deceit, without ever having spoken to him. He just saw him under that old fig tree. Commonly, we understand that it is the omniscience of Jesus, by which I mean all-knowing or having divine insight or knowledge and understanding. Jesus has X-ray vision, might be a more contemporary term, which is all quite right and proper for the Son of God. So what is the fig tree about then? Well, we can hear echoes of Genesis 3, which tells us of the archetypal fall from innocence of humanity. That old wily snake sinuously coiled itself around a tree and spoke, "So cool, whoa." As the movie said, a girl can't help it. After eating that apple, Adam and Eve used fig trees to cover their nakedness, particularly their private parts, if all those pictures and statues from antiquity are to be believed. Well, all trees are particularly special in the region of Palestine because it is an arid region and trees are scarce. To have wood in your home means luxury and wealth. To have a home built out of wood means super, super millionaire status. Trees mean shelter in the scorching heat. They connote life, greenness, and nature at its best. The desert oasis wouldn't be complete without at least one palm tree, now would it? The fig tree was a very potent symbol in the biblical era. It provided a staple in their subsistence world. And in rabbinic literature, it was where one studied the Torah. It was a place for meditation. It is also used as a symbol or picture for the nation Israel in the Bible. If we look at other faiths, trees also carry special significance. Buddha achieved enlightenment sitting under a Bodhi or a bow tree. Bodhi is the Sanskrit word for enlightenment. And there is reputedly a descendant of this very tree still in existence at Bodh Gaya, which is also called a wisdom tree. Well, I think this is all very understandable. I have a very old and magnificent fig tree in my back garden, and it provides a delightful shady place where, in the heat of summer, I can sit and read, ruminate, meditate, have tea and gas along with friends, and have wonderful long lunch parties. And then I get to eat the fruit too. It's about abundance and life. For us in an abundant land of plenty, it is a stretch of the imagination to truly understand how vital trees were and are still now in Palestine. We have so much, and they have so very little. So little that has been, since 1967, invaded and barricaded and starved and terrorized mercilessly by the modern Zionists of Israel, who do not appear to take the call of their God to heart. There is no mercy in them. In their wealth, their weaponry and ideology, they appear to have succumbed to the might is right phenomenon personified by their Western ally and main weapon supplier, the United States. It is a foul, deplorable, and unimaginable bloody state of affairs where, as I heard on BBC radio just the other day, humanitarian aid is even being blocked in the current offensive, or should I call it massacre. Never, never in contemporary conflict has this happened in the world before. International observers are not allowed into Gaza, and my blood chills. It runs cold when I think of why. Ellen Cantero, who has been reporting on the Middle East since 1979, an American woman based in America, writes that medical personnel report horrific facts about modern-day weaponry used by Israel. The illegal use, it was made illegal by the Geneva Convention, the illegal use of white phosphorus to strike civilians and schools and children who appear to have been deliberately targeted. When white phosphorus sticks to flesh, its flames continue to burn for 5 to 10 minutes, often burning flesh to the bone. Strange and terrible wounds never seen before are emerging in the new explorations in weaponry. These wounds include traumas to the skull, with fractures to jaw, cheekbones, tear duct, nasal and palatine bones, all showing signs of the collision of an immense force against the victim's face. Inexplicable is the total lack of eyeballs, which ought to leave some trace in the skull, even in the case of such violent impact. Instead, there are Palestinian corpses coming into hospitals without eyes at all, as if someone had removed them surgically before handing them over to the coroner. That was a quote. What sort of weapons are these? These evil weapons that are used by any people who claim any faith or humanity? And is this what the rabbis sat under fig trees and envisaged for their descendants? Cantero says Gaza is like a concentration camp and that this is a shoah. The Holocaust promised by Israel's Deputy Defense Minister Matan Vilnai just last year. And the world sits by, seemingly impotent and strangely muted against this ongoing tyranny, this horror, this immeasurable butchery, disproportionate as it is, this, to use a Jewish word, this pogrom. In Genesis 3, as I mentioned before, the tree is used as a symbol of the fall of humanity from a perfect state into sin and death. Evolution and science have debunked this for quite some time now, and the church cannot control people any longer by perpetuating this myth as it has, I believe, innocently and in good faith in times past. Eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil is about knowledge and self-awareness. It is not about sin and turning away from God, but the gradual and evolving sense of one's own mortality. Furthermore, I would vaunt the notion that it is about increasing ethical and just behavior based on the awareness of the preciousness, the miracle of our sentient, self-aware lives as human beings. We are not animals who have no knowledge of death or nakedness. Our knowledge, our self-awareness of our own finitude is what sets us apart and makes us human. The tree of life awakens us to caring and suffering, to the potential for growth, to beauty and understanding, to the deep wrong that is the wanton slaughter that is happening right now in Gaza. I would like to say that unless Israel can say to the world, like Philip in today's reading, come and see, it remains beyond the pale in the use of barbaric and inhuman weaponry to further decimate an already besieged and devastated region full of civilian refugees and deserves nothing but condemnation and shame. Martin Luther King wrote, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." In spite of politics or allegiances or faiths, it is incumbent upon us to condemn the disproportionate actions of Israel and to support the innocent, the suffering, and the wounded. Our own Bishop John Patterson here in Auckland has sent around a request for the Anglican Mission Board Gaza Appeal. The address is on the sermon, and if you can, please respond. Amen.